This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, let's start with your story today in the Chicago Tribune, your column, the headline, Baby Gronk Could Be Finished as a Bear, on IR, injury-prone Shaheen's future at risk. Boy, what a drag the tight end position has been, right? So, I mean, every time we're celebrating an Ivy Leaguer, we're also acknowledging that that there has been a kind of the whole Trey Burton thing, his season, his sophomore campaign in Chicago, train wreck, and certainly Adam Shaheen now put on IR, and man, it's just rough because there's really not a career there.
Yeah, just couldn't get going this year. Was the healthy scratch for that first game against the Lions, which was back on November 10th, pops up on the injury report the week after that and never to be seen from again. You know, did not return to the practice field. The Bears apparently were viewing the foot injury as sort of a day-to-day situation for him, and it didn't improve to the point where they felt like he was going to be able to contribute for them again this season. So they make the move over the weekend to place him on IR. And, it's going to be disappointing. The flip side is you see Jesper Horsted make that touchdown grab on Thanksgiving in Detroit where he's using his right hand to pin the football against his shoulder pad as he's being tackled in the end zone, 18-yard touchdown. And you say, when's the last time you saw Adam Shaheen make a play like that down the field?
A while.
And I don't know that Horsted is a long-term answer for the Bears at the position. I don't think anybody knows right now. He's played 11 snaps on offense. But you've certainly seen enough to warrant more action for him, you know, more evaluation. And you definitely are not going to rule him out as a possible solution for them moving forward. One of the things that struck me when I took a look at Shaheen yesterday was his sort of breakout game as a rookie. Remember, he wasn't getting a lot of playing time his rookie season. There was that adjustment coming from D2. I think the playbook and all it involves for a tight end, which is a lot considering responsibilities in both the pass and the run games, was potentially a little overwhelming for him at first. But Zach Miller's injury created a need for them at the position, and he started getting more playing time in the second half of that season. And then make some plays over in Cincinnati in a blowout win over the Bengals, but suffers a chest injury that ends up, ending his season. And he had a season high 44 yards in that game. Well, you take a look at what he's done since. He hasn't had a 25-yard game since then. So that's something that's puzzling because I know the Bears were really high on him coming into the season and felt like he was going to be a bit of a breakout candidate for him and be this comfortable, easy target for Mitch Trubisky to throw to. And either that's a misevaluation by them or whatever Shaheen did to warrant this steam from the team during the offseason, he was simply unable to transfer to the field during games.
So Brad, let's look at Mitch. He has a big day against the Lions, ends up with 338 yards. I don't think he was the best quarterback on the field in the first half, and yet he did have the big comeback, and he did have numbers that when you look at his totals against the Lions and the Redskins, he's got a 9-2 touchdown interception ratio, 122 passer rating against everybody else. It's not acceptable. 71 and four touchdowns and five picks. Put into context the step that he made on Thursday, if he made one.
Yeah, I think he made a step. He played well, particularly this. He was on fire in the second half. He was very good on first down throughout the game, and then he makes the drive with a bunch of plays on that 90-yard drive when the game's on the line at the end of the fourth quarter. So that's got to be a positive step moving forward for him. And Matt Nagy had said the two previous weeks that he had seen growth and specific improvement in Mitch when it was not necessarily easy to see. You know, when the numbers against the Giants anyway, a poor defense, really weren't there. Well, you don't need to, you know, ask the coach exactly how the guy's getting better, because it's not super evident when you watch it the first time yourself. Against Detroit this time, Mitch played really well. He extended some plays with his legs, was able to make some throws. So that's a positive. Now he's got to do it in a four-game stretch when the Bears are going to be playing some pretty talented opponents, when I think in all honest evaluators would say the other team's going to have the better quarterback coming into the game. And so it's a challenge for Mitch to see where he's at with the Bears right now, 6-6, and trying to, alter the course of this season, which looked like it was headed nowhere. And now they've got a chance. It's not a great chance, but they've got an opportunity. And it starts with the Cowboys on Thursday.
And I'm not pouring cold water on Mitch, because I thought that last drive was really something. But that's a team in 12 games, they're 3-8-1, and yet they've led in every game. And if you really break down what happened in that game, that is a typical Lions game. That's the Lions season. They've lost 8 of their last 9, and every loss looks exactly the same. And they're embittering end-of-the-game kind of losses. And they had another one. And I know we're only focused on Chicago and the Bears and Mitch and Matt Nagy, but that is pretty much what the Lions have done all year long.
Yeah, that's why Matt Patricia may find himself in a difficult spot here in another 4 weeks. I mean, that Lions team is bad. And I think the Lions coaches deserve credit for the way that David Blough, the undrafted rookie free agent quarterback, played. He's a guy that wasn't even on their roster when preseason ended. They acquired him after the end of preseason, and he went out and played really well. So credit to Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator, for him certainly being poised in his debut against a pretty good Bears defense. But Matt Patricia is a defensive coach. And the Lions remain an absolute wreck on defense. It's not to take credit away from what Mitch did, but I think it's to put it in perspective a little bit, the level of competition.
You know, Brad, since Matt Nagy, I think, publicly called out Anthony Miller for running the wrong route, I think leading to an interception, 16 yards rather than 14, he's been pretty good. And on Thursday, he was really dominant. He had made the couple big catches. He was targeted one more time than Allen Robinson. What has changed to make him emerge in this offense?
Well, I asked him a little bit about that, and he said, you know, it's mostly been the same routes he's running, and that against different defenses, his number gets called a little bit more often. And I think the one thing that jumped out to me in that Lions game is he's going against a pretty good nickel cornerback in Justin Coleman. And in a one-on-one situation there, Anthony Miller can win, and win consistently. And the Lions were paying extra attention to Allen Robinson. I think on both those deep throws to Miller, deep throws on third and short, the Detroit defense was doubling Allen Robinson. So that's when the Bears have to have someone else step up to be able to make a play for them. And they really haven't had anyone do that with any level of consistency this season. And to see Miller perform that twice on the same drive, I think that shows you the explosive ability that he has. That it makes all sense that Ryan Pace traded up to get him when you see Miller go out and do that. Now he needs to do it more consistently, but as a slot receiver, you know, he's not the biggest guy and he's not the fastest guy, but he's strong. He's got some quickness and he's got some real savvy to himself at that position. And he told me last week before the game that the production hadn't been anywhere near what he would have preferred in the first half of the season, but he wasn't going to dwell on that. He was just going to try to close the season really strong with some good games, put up some numbers if the opportunities were there for him, and sort of end this second season for himself on a positive note. Took a huge step in that direction against Detroit.
What does the return of Akeem Hicks mean to this defense, and what does it mean to this team? Did you get a little sense of optimism out of that?
It sounds like they're optimistic that he'll be able to play beginning next week against Green Bay. He's not eligible to return this week to face Dallas, so he's got practice this week and then practice again next week before they'd have to make a decision on clearing a roster spot for him to return. But that's going to add a big piece to the defensive line, should help them really in all phases against the run and the pass, and sort of tighten up the rotation that they've had in there. Hopefully there are meaningful football games for him to participate in the final month of the season.
And if they're not, he plays anyway, right, Brad? I mean, he's coming back one way or another.
That's the
I mean, if they lose on Thursday,
Yeah, my translation was that he's coming back. If he's physically cleared to come to return, he will play, you know, whether it's a meaningful game for the Bears or not. Yes. So I think this all hinges on his health, not where the Bears are in the standings.
All right, Bigsy, thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.